A woman was near death from a special kind of cancer. There was one drug that the doctor thought might save her. It was a form of radium that a druggist in the same town had recently discovered. The drug was expensive to make, but the druggist was charging 10 times what the drug cost him to make. That's kind of a modern tinge to it, doesn't it? Yeah. He paid $200 for the radium and charged $2,000 for a small dose of the drug. The sick woman's husband, Hines, went to everyone he knew to borrow the money, but he could only get together $1,000, half of what it cost. He told the druggist his wife was dying and asked him to sell it to him cheaper or to let him pay him later. But the druggist said, no, I discovered the drug and I'm going to make money from it. Hines got desperate and broke into the man's store to steal the drug for his wife. There's questions also to consider, but you're not tied to these questions. They're just in the course, and I included it in case you're struggling. I would break up into groups of four, and we could go discuss this for 20 minutes. And then I'll come around with a mic and have someone for the group to give us a summary of what you came up with this dilemma. And now choose your spokesperson, and I'll simply come down the aisle and hand you the microphone, the spokesperson. But first, the kids, and we're going to let Lex.
So we came up with a scenario where the druggist wasn't selfish and sold the drug to the government or something, and it became available to everyone. And he would make a lot more money off of that anyway than just the $2,000 for one person.
Okay, we decided that there was that, well, first of all, the wife, the stranger, and the animal were all presumed to have had cancer and all needed this drug. And since there was a value to all of them, we felt that if the absolute was that the thief had to be charged, the question was, who was the first thief, the druggist or the thief, the designated thief? And therefore, if a judge was allowed to participate in politics, and we went to the root word of politics, which is village, the judge would decide on behalf of the good of the community and be able to make a decision that helped all. Therefore, the judge would have ordered Hines to give $1,000 to the $1,000 to the druggist, and that he not be fined, and that the druggist lower the price of his drug.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm from Boulder, Colorado. Better. Yeah, I don't speak into a mic very often at all. So I'm from Boulder, Colorado. I'm visiting Chicago for the weekend. I'm from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Boulder, and I thought I would attend your service this morning. Just our discussion digressed a little bit from the story. We were discussing about injustices that are in our society, the ingrained injustices, especially the injustice of access, lack of access to medical care. And we were discussing about other racial injustices in our country and how far they root back and how difficult it is to uproot them and whether we should go into reparations or not. I forgot what I was going to say because I don't know how to listen. Can you remind me what was the last? Oh, and the last point was just that medical care should be a right and not a privilege, which is what we have here.
Okay, we'll use this. So I can see the different perspectives were presented on this. We didn't discuss anything different. We took for granted that there weren't any laws that made it illegal for the druggist to charge what he charged, in which case he wasn't the thief. The thief was the husband. And then, of course, that harkens to we mentioned the civil rights movement. It was very important in the civil rights movement for people who intentionally broke laws that were unjust to break them and to suffer the consequences. It was important to serve the sentence. In this situation, it's very difficult, but the husband broke the law. Now, what we don't also know is whether or not the judge had the discretion to sentence at a very moderate sentence, which might have been important as well. We also don't know what the insurance situation was. Was there governmental insurance? That wasn't mentioned here. We assume there wasn't governmental insurance. But there might have been private insurance that was available but not purchased. And we don't know whether the husband might have afforded private insurance but didn't purchase it. So all of those things are important here. There's also something about going forward after the circumstance and after the judge sentences the person, assuming that because he broke the law, society would then look at this situation and decide how to ameliorate the circumstance, which might have been to create a governmental insurance program that would share the risk here, so that people don't wind up in a dilemma like this. But those are some of the concerns that we thought about. But there are different perspectives here: the perspective of what the husband's obligation was. There was a perspective of what the druggist's obligation was, and there was a perspective of what the community's obligation was. And all of these have different moral implications.
Is examining and determining what is the foundation of each individual. The essence of the story, or what we've come to regarding the story, seems to be how we discover the foundation of each individual involved. In other words, the foundation that creates this decision process for each individual. And as we discover the foundations, then we come to recognize, well, why were they involved? What caused them to come to this decision, and how can we better answer the question and solve the problem? That seems to be what we've come to at this point. What is the foundation, or what was the foundation of those decisions? Thank you.
Was, yeah, he should absolutely steal the drug for his wife. That matters more than
the druggist making money. So then we got into just the sort of details that could change the scenario. So, okay, this one individual doing this, no problem. But what if there's thousands of people who need this drug and are stealing it? Then does that change what the moral thing to do is? Or what if the druggist needs a drug for his wife that costs $1 million? Then does it change whether this guy should steal from him, et cetera? So let's see, we came up with, we were basically in favor of government regulation of the cost of drugs. We thought this price gouging situation shouldn't happen in the first place. And I think that's the basics. Yeah. Okay, cool. I think I covered it.
So first, I'm going to ask you a question. Which do you think is more valuable, human life or money? I'm guessing most of you are going to say human life because it's you only get one chance for it. And money, you have a million chances to get it. But life, you only have one. So I understand why the husband was trying to get all the money he could for his wife because he could probably never see his wife again if he didn't. And the drugsman was probably being mean because imagine you have $1 and you really need to pay your rent, but your landlord won't let you pay it with what you have and you'll probably lose your home and everything you own. Does that seem fair? Probably not. So the landlord would be the drugsman and you would be the husband trying to get something for your wife. And it just doesn't seem fair to most people. That's why I think maybe the drugsman should have got what he offered instead of having to see his wife die and never see her again, probably.
Which one do you want to go on?
If you look at it from the husband's perspective, it would make sense, like for him as an individual, to steal the drug because it's his wife, and for him, getting charged with stealing is less bad than his wife dying. But it's sort of complicated because if you think about it from the druggist's perspective, like he created something valuable and like he worked hard to create this, and he should be rewarded for something that is that valuable and can save lives and stuff. And so it's complicated. We think it would have been best to like make him pay the rest of the money that he owed, and then do some community service or something. But maybe not give him a something on his record that would ruin his life or something like that. Because I think if you allow one person to steal, then it's sort of, and you don't discriminate, then if you let other people steal, then it sort of like breaks down the order of like the economy, I guess. And like people start stealing food and other things that they do need and stuff like that. That was basically what we thought.
Oh my gosh, I always forget how close we are. In our group, we had a lot of things that we sort of agreed upon. We sort of let certain things be morally messy, but we all agreed that Hines was in the right. He was justified in doing what he did, because at the end of the day, human life is the one true thing that we have. But when you really think about it, it's a thing of human life versus money. And money, as good as it can be for certain things, is something that we made up. It is imaginary. And viewing it as more important than human life is profoundly immoral. I would say one observation that I just wanted to point out as something that we discussed. One perspective we don't get in this dilemma is the perspective of the woman who has the most to lose in this case. And so one thing that we talked about is what is the quality of her life after this moment. Is she going to have this treatment and then spend the rest of her life getting poked and prodded by doctors, or does she have the opportunity to have a good quality of life? And so that was one other thing that we wound up discussing in addition to, of course, the rest of the questions there. So just one other thing that I wanted to point out. Thank you.
Of course. Am I in view, Lex? I'm fine. Okay. So from I'm good. Okay. So from the perspective of those on Zoom, I wanted to share their thoughts. So they believe Hines should have stolen the drug to save his wife's life. It would be worse to let someone die than to steal. On the question of the value of life, the value of life means matching action with beliefs. There was also mentioned in there something to the effect of the sentencing, like if the, you know, if Hines was in front of a judge, how should the sentencing be handled? Should he be set free or should it just be a light sentence? And I don't want to misquote Earl Jones, but he had said something. I'm going to go over and read it. So he said, if I can help somebody as I pass my way, then my living should not be in vain.
Is that okay?
Okay, y'all. So my name is Corey Mason. I wasn't in the groups, but I did do the reading. From what I took from it was that pretty much it was really based on capitalism. That's how I looked at it. Like, it was a very like outgrowth, very strong outgrowth of capitalism, in which, you know, it's the foundation is built upon extracting and pretty much profiting by any means necessary. And capitalizing on your profits. I think that's just a byproduct of it. Him taking the drug, the druggist, you know, him doubling up the price, tripling up, you know, putting it up 10 times as much. And now it's at the expense of the everyday common person, right? This radium could have been affordable. This woman's life could have been, you know, saved in a more equitable way. But I think, you know, this story really, like have us to like resonate with the fact that more communal, more cooperative living is more natural. You know, it's more beneficial for everyone. It would be beneficial for the druggist and for the woman who need it. Let's just say the husband worked out a deal with the druggist. Say, okay, I probably got this $1,000 right now and I could probably work out whatever agreement with you, work with you, help you with clientele. We can create a consistent flow of this, you know, transaction without it being so, you know, hard on my pockets and everyone else's. So I just want to just say, like, that can kind of get us into the attitude of abundance, you know, flowing that way and economically.
Can I cut it off?
Heinz's dilemma always brings up complexities. But, you know, as far as religion is concerned, what Ivy said is really life or money, no contest. This was part of the Building Your Own Theology class on the section on ethics. And what you do in this class is you write your own 10 commandments. And you can't bring in the Bible 10 commandments. They got to be yours. And I just like for the benediction, share you Richard Gilbert's 10 commandments. The cosmos does not make junk. Creation is fundamentally good. Walk gently upon the earth as you would be a good guest in your neighbor's house. People are precious. Be gentle with your neighbor. None of us knows what it's like to be another, so try to walk a mile in another's moccasins. We have a right to be here. Be gentle with yourself. Aspire to be more than you are. But here's the catch. But accept your finitude. Love people, use things. Treat people as ends, not means. People must not be used for our ulterior purposes. Sorry, I stumbled on that word. And doing good for nothing is actually a biblical phrase, but I can't find it. But I've been told it is. Doing good is not about keeping score. It's about being good for nothing. Do good for its own sake. Now you have the religious principle of Heinz's dilemma. Let the inner and the outer person be the same. Be honest with yourself. Deeds are more important than creeds, so act that your behavior speaks louder than your words. Our behavior does speak louder than our words. This world is a neighborhood. All people are neighbors. We are here to share with our neighbors so that, and here's the kicker, it's going to push, so that everyone has enough, no one has too much, and we share with maximum freedom and minimum coercion. Imagine that world. Imagine living in that world. Show a little more humor than the Ten Commandments. Always be a little kinder than necessary. Finally, do unto others 20% better than you would have them do unto you. The 20% is to correct for subjective error. Dilk Gilbert was great. He's retired now.